call the meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It's a special committee meeting, as you will find out in a few minutes, to consider a proposed rule change. We welcome all here today. We're glad that you could all join us. Is the microphone loud enough so you can hear my voice? Okay. First item on our agenda is a open public address of the commissioners on any issues that are up to 3 minutes on matters not related to pending or recently imminent appeals before the commission. This does not deal with the issues of telecommunications, cable, satellite, or other types of telecommunications. It's only dealing with the issues not relating to those, because we'll have those in a minute. Is there anyone who wishes to address the commission on those items? Seeing none. Next item on the agenda is to approve minutes of our open and closed meeting of August 11th, 2016. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Yeah, I'll move to approve both sets of minutes.
Thank you. Motion's in order. No debate on the motion. I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is to discuss amending Rule R884-24P-62. As a way of background, Mr. Uleberry, Weber County Assessor, and Mr. Kevin Jacobs, Salt Lake County Assessor, request the Commission to study a rule change to R884-24P-62, Valuation of State Assessed Unitary Properties. Pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 59-2-201, for the purpose of determining whether the rules should be amended to include cable companies in the definition of telecommunication properties. We've also had public comments submitted in writing to expand that particular request as well, and so we'll discuss those as well in this meeting. That's the item that's on our agenda for today. We have a number of people who have signed into the roll for today's meeting. And so if anybody would like to speak, I'll just go on the orders that you have signed in and put down yes to speak. At the close of the items of those who have asked to speak, we'll then have it open to anyone who would also like to speak that did not sign that they requested to speak. But you do need to sign in that you are going to speak if you are going to speak. So first on the list is Tim Bodley, Salt Lake County. Ms. Bodley, please. Could you go ahead and approach the microphone?
I guess that's the last time I come early, right?
I guess so. Unless you'd like to defer to the second half.
There you go. If you can just give me 1 minute here, I need to start my presentation here.
That'll be fine. You know, please, once you approach and go ahead and let us have those.
Can you essentially the balance of my file there and leave what's left over to the public? But
I've been asked to speak on behalf of the Salt Lake County Assessor, Mr. Kevin Jacobs, and the Weber County Assessor, John Uleberry. And so that will be my focus, is representing their interests and their position in this matter. And so I don't want to take too much time, but I think since the county assessors are obviously knee-deep in assessing cable companies as it stands now, it is important that you hear from them and hear their concerns. So I think, you know, obviously the question is pretty straightforward. Should cable companies be centrally assessed? And that means assessed by the property tax division. Of the tax commission, and I framed it in two questions. I think the first question that's most important is, should they be assessed? And that answer is pretty straightforward. I think it's pretty simple. For uniformity reasons and for fair market value reasons, they need to, because that's the only way we're going to be able to meet both of those principles. And then the second question related to there, does Utah law permit the central assessment? I think once you've asked the first question, it's pretty, the law is broad enough to allow you to find a basis in the law to assess them. So if that's okay, I think I'll kind of proceed on that basis and focus on the applicable law. And we always have to start with the Utah Constitution, which requires, number one, that property be assessed at fair market value, and number two, that it be uniformly or equally taxed or assessed. And all statutes, including your jurisdiction as a tax commission to make assessments, need to be consistent with this constitutional provision. So if the statute forces you in a situation where you're not able to value property at fair market value, or it creates a situation where you have uniformity issues or equality issues going on, then you've probably applied that statute unconstitutionally. So you need to focus on those principles as you go throughout the interpretation of the law. So if we look at the applicable law, the basic questions, and I've got three here listed, and I think you've identified some of them before, but the first question is do we have to centrally assess them as a unit to arrive at fair market value? Now, if you're familiar with the Wiltel decision that was issued many years ago, I think 1990 or 2000, that was a telecommunication company that essentially, I think, was basically a long-distance carrier back when we had a lot of those kind of businesses. And the Supreme Court said, there's no other way for us to value that property except as a unitary property and except as centrally assessed if we're going to arrive at fair market value. And so they were faced with interpreting the question, should that be locally assessed or centrally assessed? And the taxpayer there said, well, the statute that allows you to do it, meaning property crosses county lines, is too vague. And the court said, no, it is broad, but the commission needs a broad statute so that it can ensure that it values the property at fair market value. And so that's the same question that you have today. The second one, can local assessors uniformly value the property at fair market value? I don't know how they can, given the nature of how a cable company operates, because the cable clearly crosses county lines in most instances. You may have VoIP phone calls that go from this cable through the cable to another cable customer in another county, potentially, depending on the cable company. And so to be able to determine an obsolescence factor that may be applicable to that cable, whether it be economic or otherwise, would be very difficult to do absent starting from a unitary appraisal standpoint. So the third question, unless the property is centrally assessed, will it be subject to multiple audits and inconsistent valuations? Most likely, yes. You've got many independent assessors trying to go out there and value this property. They may have different methods. They may apply different audits, and you're not going to have uniformity. And therefore, you have issues with the constitutional requirements that I put forward. Are there any questions so far? Or hopefully I'm not too slow in going through this. If you need me to speed up, let me know, because I know there's a lot of speakers. But the applicable law, there's two that probably apply here. All property which operates as a unit across county lines, if the value must be apportioned. So for the large cable companies, that's going to be easy to meet, I think. And we've used that standard to assess wireless companies. So the wireless companies are being assessed by the Property Tax Division based upon this subsection 1. They are not technically, arguably, a public utility. And so they are being centrally assessed under the first prong. I think the first prong would apply equally to cable companies. But I think it also would apply to a cable company that maybe doesn't operate across county lines as a public utility, and I'll explain that in just a second. Across county lines, in 2008, when this was before the commissioners before, they basically said, we conclude that Comcast, in that case the focus was on Comcast. We're not here just for Comcast. But they were, in that particular situation, they said the VoIP service is being conducted across county lines. So they kind of made that conclusion for you. I suppose it's up to you whether you want to continue with that same conclusion or not. I think you should. Before I proceed, does everybody understand what we mean by VoIP? So we're all okay. I have to remind myself and look up the term, so I won't get into that.
Let me ask you one quick question.
Sure.
Are you focusing only on two-way communications, or are the criteria that you are identifying here also effective to other forms of multi-channel videos, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Are you asking the commission to consider that as part of its rule change as well, or are you strictly restricting your requests to just telecommunication services?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the last part of your question, what's a telecommunication service entity, is kind of a loaded question. But to answer your first part of your question is, no, we're not limiting it just to telephone service. So we would think that it needs to cover on-demand TV service as well as satellite, internet services. So how you interpret that, whether that internet and on-demand falls within the two-way communication statute, I suppose is up to you. Our position is clearly the phone service does. And if the phone service does, we think the only way that you can arrive at the fair market value for that property, as well as the other property that provides internet service and maybe even on-demand video services, likewise has to be centrally assessed as part of that same unit.
Is our statute restricted to just telecommunication services?
Your statute? The statute, no.
No, 592.201.2 doesn't say telecommunication services.
Yes, 59-2-201 reference a telephone company, and it also references property that of an operating company that serves the public generally. So I think you could fall under that category if you wanted to. And then it also references typically regulated entities, which would also include a telephone corporation that's regulated, which would get you to the two-way communication statute. And so the fact that you get to central assessment through that statute, and let's say that we just limit it to your hook, so to speak, on central assessment to telephone service, which would be the VoIP, I think at that point, if you're going to centrally assess that cable, you have no choice but constitutionally to include the other services that that cable provides, because there is no way that I'm aware of, and you can speak to your property tax division experts, how you can apportion a single cable that provides all three types of services.
Well, I guess my question is more expansive than that. If we choose to centrally assess cable companies, should we likewise centrally assess their competitors in at least one of those services, which is the multi-channel video?
Okay. So you want to expand it beyond to satellite? Is that where you're headed? Or
no, I think what we're asking is, what is your position on whether to expand it
beyond just
to things like satellite?
Yeah. We I don't think have taken an official position on satellite. And part of the reason for that is they don't have the same type of equipment that a cable company typically has. They are closer to how a wireless telephone would operate, but they typically only offer pay TV services, right? They typically don't offer the internet. The internet will be offered through CenturyLink lines or through Comcast. And so I think there is a distinction if you want to make it. I think there's an argument to make that you can bring them in. I'm not sure we have to decide that right now, but it, certainly I can see an argument of why you would want to bring them in as well.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt your presentation, but you asked for questions, and that one was a logical one when you were talking about crossing county lines and competitive services being the same, and those services offered by cable companies, at least one of those services offered by satellite.
Yeah, and I will offer, in some fashion, we are already picking up, as I understand it, some of that pay TV service that wouldn't be traditionally offered by cable. So, for instance, CenturyLink has its own pay TV service through Prism, which I think comes through the TV lines. I mean, the telephone lines as opposed to the satellite, but I could be wrong. We do pick up those assets, and, of course, CenturyLink also packages its services with DirecTV in Utah. And so at some level, at some portion, I think we're already capturing some of that value as we speak. So it does make sense at some point to maybe move in that direction.
Okay. Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
you asked for it, so I gave it to you.
I'm trying to focus on as minimal stuff as we can right today and get to the easy fruit, so to speak, and then move from there. So I've already addressed this. And the public utility, that definition, if you read it, in the Utah Code, it actually includes a telephone corporation, and then it includes this phrase, company serving the public generally. Pretty broad phrase. And then it also says, but also it includes regulated companies, which ironically, the definitions are very close as to what a public utility is defined in the tax statute versus what a public utility is defined in the public utility section of the statute. I'm not entirely sure what the reason is, but these are the three categories that I brought out of it. If you go through some of the other states' case law, you can make an argument under a common law definition of a telephone corporation. A cable company that offers VoIP will fall in that. If you go under the public service definition of a telephone corporation, it doesn't include wireless, nor does it include internet providers, but it would include, arguably, VoIP. Okay? So you have those two options. I'm going to skip that and get back to my earlier conclusion. So if the same property provides voice, internet, and video, and say your hook for central assessment is the two-way communication, and maybe that's voice, I think the principles of fair market value require you to assess that whole unit, even though it may be video, of which the statutes are somewhat indifferent or silent on as to whether it should be centrally assessed. Does that make sense? Am I clear on that point? Mm-hmm. And Wiltel kind of affirmed that, because, again, they said, unless we assess Wiltel's property as a unit, we can't get to fair market value. My suggestion is, unless you value this cable company's property as a unit, you're not going to get to fair market value. Okay, so please interrupt at any time. If you want to, it's totally fine. Rule 62, you're familiar with that. It defines telecommunications properties. So it includes local exchange carriers and access providers, which clearly meet the two-way communication. It includes cellular telephone, which we assess based on the cross-county lines argument. And then it says other similar properties. I think it's totally appropriate for you to conclude that cable companies would be other similar properties. And the reason for that is because of the convergence of technology that you're probably familiar with. And I don't want to spend a lot of time, but as I understand it, you can really break down the cable history in about three phases. Phase one, 1950 to 1975, and essentially all they had was this coax cable that provided the same TV you could get over the air. Instead of through the airwaves, you got it through a cable. But that cable was always capable of sending and receiving data. But in that period, it just sent data. And then we had HBO was launched in 1975, and now you have specialty programmed programs. And then in 1995, you moved from your analog technology to digital, and now you have on-demand, and then you have the VoIP service, and you have the broadband internet service that can be offered over this same coax for actual cable. And so now you've essentially in 1995 really became a competitor of traditional telephone companies. And at the same time, telephone companies started to converge as well, and they offer DSL, internet service, and they offer, as I indicated, DirecTV or through CenturyLink's Prism TV. They've also gone into the video or TV on demand as well. Okay? So in 1995, we were kind of forced into this factual situation that we have today. Now, this is out of a decision, I don't know if you're familiar with it, in Oregon in 2014, and this was Comcast contesting the central assessment of its property there. They have a different statute than we have. Theirs focused more on data. But they had a lot of expert testimony, and I thought this was a helpful comment, and that is the data, whether it's transmitted by copper wire or coaxial or fiber, is still data, and it's the same. Okay? And, of course, in that decision in Oregon, they said clearly Comcast, as a cable company, is transmitting data over its wires.
Tim, I recognize we've had some interruptions for questions, but if we're going to make the agenda today, we're going to have to kind of move along a little.
Sure, I'll finish in just 2 minutes.
2 minutes would be great.
If that's okay. I just wanted to show you, this is an excerpt from Comcast, and I'm not here about Comcast, but this will maybe help you with some of your difficulties. If you'll see, my pointer's not working, but you'll see over here their revenue from video, which would be their TV, and their high-speed internet, and their voice. So from a revenue standpoint, clearly it's still dominated by TV. But you see we continue to have a progression here of more and more customers using the voice. And then I pulled this at the bottom from their 10K most recently, and they said 20.6% of the homes and businesses in the areas where they serve subscribe to their voice services. So that's one-fifth of the homes where this particular company serves uses their voice, as far as I understand that statement. So it is expanding and it continues to go. I wanted you to compare that with CenturyLink from their 10K. They provide this is their strategic services, high-speed internet, video, VoIP, as well. So it's really indistinguishable from the consumer standpoint now. And then the last slide here just simply shows CenturyLink says we're losing business to our competitor, cable. And our demand for our private lines is likewise going as well. From cable from cable companies and fiber optics. So we have this convergence of all these different telecommunication providers, and satellite very likely is one. And we need to make sure that they are assessed fairly and uniformly under the Constitution. And that means I think you make them centrally assessed, as is CenturyLink and some of the other telephone providers. I apologize about taking too much of your time, but if you have any questions, let me know, or that I'll conclude.
Any questions of this witness before you release it?
I think we need to look at, you're suggesting here that there's no rule change needed, that we can just assign it to the division.
Yeah, I think your rule where it says other similar property would be broad enough to cover that if you want. I don't know where. Oops, I went too far. Well, but let me back up. But yeah, my point is I don't think you need a statutory fix right now. I think you have sufficient statutory basis to do so. And number two, I think your rule, as it reads now, you could add expressly more detail and say cable companies, but when it says other similar property, I think the facts have changed in the industry for the division to say, yeah, the facts are different now than what they were 10 years ago. Facts are different than what they were 8 years ago, and this is now similar property, and I think you're fine to assess it tomorrow if that's what you want to do. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
I apologize about the time.
No, we prolonged it with the questions. Next one who's requested to speak is Christian Ettenberger. Maybe I'm not pronouncing the name correctly. Looks like it's Ettenberger. Why don't you go ahead and state your name for the record so that we get it correct?
Sure. It's Christian Altenberger, and I'm a senior manager in the property tax department at Comcast. And thank you for the time to speak to you today. Really, from my perspective, I just wanted to share sort of our experience here in Utah and how we have been assessed and how we sort of see that going. We did have a couple appeals in the not-too-recent past with a couple counties over really the ambiguity around the depreciation tables used in local assessment for our property. And through that process, we actually worked extensively with the Personal Property Tax Division here at the STC, Herb Jenkins and his team, and presented a large amount of information about our assets, about our technology, how it all works, and what we thought were the most appropriate depreciation tables to use on our historic cost to get to fair market value. Through that process, we were able to come to an agreement with the Personal Property Tax Division, and those changes were put into effect with the 2016 Personal Property Tax Valuation Guide, which is issued to all the local counties. So we really think that the cable property is not any different than the vast majority of the property that's locally assessed. We file our renditions with historic cost. They can go to the valuation guide, look up the appropriate category, and then apply those tables to get the fair market value. And this is how our property is valued in the vast majority of states throughout the country, is on a local basis using historic cost and then appropriate depreciation tables to get you to fair market value. So just wanted to...
Thank you. Any questions of this witness? I have one quick one. Do your properties cross state lines?
Yes.
Do they cross county lines?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
So I don't know if you are aware, the commission looked at the same issue back in 2008. And I'm wondering if you could comment on whether Comcast feels like the industry landscape has changed between 2008 and now, with respect to the services you provide, the technology, as well as what services your customers are using?
Sure. I think in the vast majority of our industry, there's always changes. However, we're offering the same suite of services that we offered in 2008. We've added a home security business. However, that's a very small portion. But as far as the main services of video, data, and phone, that stayed consistent. If anything, a smaller portion of our assets and our network are dedicated to the voice business over time as we've gone forward, as that requires a really small amount of assets to really run that business in comparison to the video and data side.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Next who's requested to speak was Pam Wilmoth, who's also with Comcast. Pam, if you'd like to also speak.
Thank you. I'm going to actually forfeit my time because Others are going to bring up some of the points.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next one on the request list was Eric Isom for CenturyLink.
Thank you. Commissioner Valentine, very nice to see you. Chair Valentine, other commissioners. My name is Eric Isom. For a period of about 12 years, I worked for Quest and then CenturyLink. Now in a partnership with two partners, MIB partners, but still represent CenturyLink's interest, and appreciate the opportunity to be here before you today. I just wanted to clarify some comments made by Mr. Bodley. CenturyLink does indeed offer its own video product here in the state of Utah called Prism TV, and just wanted to clarify that that service is provided over the same facilities through which CenturyLink provides internet service to its customers and also telephony. And CenturyLink also enjoys a partnership with DirecTV, so CenturyLink customers may receive video services through DirecTV or through CenturyLink's own video product, Prism TV, that again is provided over the same facilities as telephony and internet. Earlier, CenturyLink, at that time Quest, had raised this issue with the commission and had concerns about parity. For CenturyLink, the policy of parity for taxes, fees, surcharges has always been a significant issue for us. And at the time, there was an argument made that there should be parity, and we were focusing on parity up. CenturyLink is centrally assessed, and at that time, Comcast was locally assessed and felt that there was disparate treatment between two competitors, two providers that provided similar services across county lines. And the position of CenturyLink has changed somewhat. I'm not here today to advocate an increased tax burden on a fellow competitor, another provider in the industry, but would advocate for parity amongst providers providing similar services across county lines. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions of this witness? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Issa. Next would be Laren Lynn from the Property Tax Division. Mr. Lynn.
Thank you. Good morning. I do have a short presentation. I'll distribute copies.
Thank you.
Of our presentation.
Thank you.
Need to do something to get the signal up. There we go.
Oh, there.
Yep.
Thank you for letting us put our flash drive in your computer, which was already hooked up. Good morning. Preliminarily, I think the Property Tax Division's position is similar to the one presented by Salt Lake County. The Property Tax Division has struggled with this issue for years, has looked to the Commission for guidance before we received guidance in 2008, as most people know here. The basic provisions for central assessment, I think Mr. Bodley talked about these too, is first, and we believe most importantly in this case, is that all property that operates a unit is across county lines. We believe Comcast does, and I think for shorthand here, we'll talk about Comcast and CenturyLink, because those are sort of the two biggest players, one on the cable side, the other on the traditionally telephone side, but our point is that they're quite similar now, but one is locally assessed, one is centrally assessed. In the Property Tax Commission and the Property Tax Division are also charged to assess property of public utilities. Again, for our purposes today, we're focusing on the fact that both of the entities I'm going to talk about operate as a unit across county lines. Here is just an illustrative map from Comcast's most recent 10-K that shows interconnected area of cable and VoIP and internet service in Utah that crosses the state line into Idaho, and there's obviously a bunch of service nationwide, but it's not county by county. The similarity between CenturyLink and Comcast stems from the fact that we view them as telecommunication providers primarily, and that's defined in the Tax Commission's Rule 62. It describes telephone service, and it says, and other similar properties, and we believe both properties are similar. We have some examples of some of the similarities. We have a definition from a telecom dictionary, some descriptions from the Comcast Corp. versus the Oregon Department of Revenue case that Mr. Bodley discussed, and a citation from the Utah Public Utilities Code. It's basically telecommunication service providing two-way transmission of sign, signal, writing, images, et cetera. That's our focus. Again, we think it should be centrally assessed because it operates as a unit across county lines, but they provide similar telecommunication services. The question of whether it's public utility or not is not one we believe you need to reach. Comcast describes its services as including two-way transmissions. This is from, in their most recent 10-K. And the services that they provide, we're actually using AT&T here, but we'll have a slide coming up with CenturyLink. As far as the public is concerned, as far as the services provided, they're very similar. They're marketed similarly. The actual products are similar. And yet one's locally assessed, one's centrally assessed. Here's similar information for CenturyLink, which again is state assessed. In referring again to the Oregon Supreme Court case, Comcast versus Department of Revenue, again, the statutes were different, but in that case, the court focused on the similarity of the services. The companies are basically traditional telecoms and cable are now providing the same services. There's a quote in there that's interesting: "Is a bit is a bit is a bit." Doesn't matter who's providing it or how you're using it. The companies are just very similar today. We've had some mention as to what, I think there was a question as to what has changed since 2008 when the commission last visited this. Just for illustrative purposes, we've got some statistics from their 10-Ks. Mr. Bodley had similar information. I think part of his information was provided at the 2008 rule hearing that you had. We just pulled the information from the 10-K. But you can see that there's an increasing importance of internet and voice customers for Comcast as compared to 2008 when the commission last visited this issue. I put the citation here. The case is easy to find. I've got the Pacific Reporter citation from Oregon. There's quotes from experts in there discussing the similarities of the industry. I think it's a useful case to look at, even though the statutory scheme is different. The focus is the similarity of the telecommunication services that are provided, which we believe is the case here under our statute. The two companies operate across the county and state lines. They provide the same mix of telecommunication services. We think they should both be centrally assessed, and we think they are similar enough that they should be treated similarly. And we think certainly there has been a change since the commission last visited this issue in 2008. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those now.
Commissioner Cregan.
Could you speak to the county's assertion through Mr. Bodley that no change needs to be made to the rule or the statute, that the division could just do the central assessment?
I think the commission could do central assessment under current statute and rule.
Okay, so let's explore that a little bit. This all came up because the counties approached us and asked us for a rule change, and so that's why we're going through this process. But it sounds like that maybe a rule change isn't required. Is it possible that the counties and Mr. Conover could just reach an agreement that he's going to have his division do central assessment, and then if the companies that are so centrally assessed want to appeal that assessment and argue the issue before the commission as a legal issue that they are being improperly state assessed, that's a path that this process could follow?
That is a path. The division has been reluctant to just assess Comcast because we recognize it is a change of long-standing practice. And even though the technology is changing and the companies are becoming more and more similar, certainly from the property tax division standpoint, that wasn't a step it wanted to take alone. And we frankly commend the commission for calling this meeting, because I think it's important to get input from all of the affected players before a decision is made. Now, that doesn't preclude you from going down, the commission from going down the route, Mr. Conover, giving some direction to the property tax division. And then certainly, if we decide we're not going to centrally assess Comcast, CenturyLink can appeal, and that can go through the commission's adjudicative process and through the court systems, or we can decide to assess Comcast. They can appeal, and it can go through the commission's adjudicative process and the court process. That's certainly one approach. We could have statutory amendments. And as far as a rule change, we think we can assess them under the current rule. That isn't to say that some more specific guidance in the rule wouldn't be helpful and appreciated.
So at the very least, something to notify the world that the tax commission is going to now assess these instead of the counties is in order.
Yes. I think at a minimum that's the fair thing to do, to give the players some advance notice so they can start sharpening their knives if that's what they need to do, or
pencils, sharpening their pencils. Or,
we don't talk about knives or guns here. We talk about pencils and bits and bits and bits.
Okay, I'd like to go and discuss another issue now. The representative from Comcast talked about how they're currently assessed using the personal property tables. Can you maybe talk about what we would expect to see change if the division started doing the assessments? I mean, I understand that we would probably be doing something that's more of a traditional unitary assessment, but can we compare and contrast the unitary assessment and the current assessment? Would the current assessment method still be one of the factors that the division would consider?
It could be something you could look at for most of its assessments. For, say, CenturyLink, it's using the cost approach of the company rather than the percent good tables that are set forth in Rule 33. So that's a difference. You know, there's a discussion whether that Rule 33 cost approach is a market approach or a cost approach. But that would be a change. The division traditionally does an income approach, a yield capitalization income approach, and a cost approach, which is traditionally the historic cost less depreciation approach, and then weights the two approaches as it deems appropriate to reach fair market value. In theory, all these different approaches should reach fair market value, but there's always differences in application, even under the Rule 33 tables. Sometimes the counties are not applying them the same way. The taxpayers will go to one county, get a concession that maybe another county doesn't provide. And I think that's one of the concerns that's underlying this whole process, is the uniformity mandate in assessments from Utah Constitution. That even in theory, fair market value should be fair market value, but if the methodology diverges, it opens the door for some inconsistent treatment, and it's... You know, it's easier if one entity is the property tax division assessing the similar properties using similar methodologies.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very helpful exchange. Others?
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, who's asked to request to speak is John Uleberry, Weber County Assessor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, Commissioners. I appreciate the chance to address this issue. I just wanted to come up and express our support for changing the assessing authority for cable companies whose services cross county lines from locally assessed to centrally assessed. And I would just like to offer this from an assessor's perspective. As you already know, we're tasked by Constitution and state code to value all property equitably in proportion to its fair market value. This task is manageable within a county. This task becomes somewhat unwieldy when you start talking about different assessment jurisdictions. We have 29 different assessors that bring 29 different levels of expertise, skills, staffs, legal support, and assessment philosophies. For example, Salt Lake County. In just Salt Lake County, they have 21 full-time dedicated employees just for business personal property. In Weber County, we have 5. In Box Elder County, they have 5 total employees in their assessment office. But yet, there certainly is the potential for us to be assessing the same company. This can lead to multiple valuations for the same types of properties and even for the same company. These different valuations conflict with our constitutional and statutory responsibilities. It's also certainly a disservice to our customer. By changing the assessing authority to the State Tax Commission, these issues are greatly reduced if not eliminated. The state has experts who specialize in different types of industries, whereas in counties, we certainly do not. We value all types of properties within the county as we're tasked to do by statute. Consequently, the Tax Commission can provide a better and a more consistent valuation. In conclusion, we'd like to reiterate our support for changing the assessing authority to the State Tax Commission. It's a better use of taxpayer-provided resources and provides a more equitable valuation. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, please. Mr. Commissioner Cregan.
Thanks for coming down again and talking with us about this. It seems to me that we've already got the personal property unit in our property tax division. Herb Jenkins was already mentioned, and perhaps Salt Lake County doesn't rely upon Mr. Jenkins and his team as much as Box Elder County might. But since we've got that kind of that hub already for the assessment of personal property, and that unit handles the audits for many counties, haven't we already got kind of a central assessment mechanism, or I know it's not a central, but I mean a uniformity process in place because we have that hub operating for personal property?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Commissioner. Thank you. I would say somewhat yes and somewhat no. As you know, 27 of the 29 counties use the State Tax Commission, but 2 do not. So that's the first issue. The second issue really centers around, philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Each county assessor has the authority to assess property as they interpret the law correctly, or as they interpret the law. And so, consequently, I interpret the law differently from my learned colleague here, Mr. Jacobs. And there's really no mechanism in place for us or for anybody to force consistency, if I can say it that way. So, for instance, if I say, we decided to concede to a customer's request and change a valuation schedule, whereas Mr. Jacobs' staff may say, no, we think that request is improper, now we're valuing the same exact property differently. And therefore, we're not meeting our statutory and constitutional obligation.
Okay, I want to explore that just a little bit, because I wonder if there isn't a mechanism. It seems to me that if Mr. Jacobs thought that you were doing it wrong, that he could file an appeal with us as the statewide board of equalization and say, hey, Weber County's messed this up, and so we don't have uniform valuation of this property now, and the commission needs to fix that. Likewise, Comcast could say, Salt Lake County's treating us unfairly. Look at how Weber County's done it. There's no uniformity. We need to fix this.
That's an excellent point. I don't know of any instance where a county assessor has challenged another county assessor's valuation methodology. I guess they could in
that's
theory.
That's the point.
In theory, but I don't know that anybody has. Speaking personally, I certainly never would.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does, but I wanted to just make sure that we were looking at that. You know, the Constitution already provides for a state board of equalization, and the statutes already say that one of our responsibilities is to equalize the assessments amongst the counties. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you said there is no mechanism, I wanted to just make sure that we understood that there is, but it may not be used.
Okay, thank you. I stand corrected. And quite honestly, I don't know what's going on in Salt Lake County any more than Salt Lake County knows what's going on in Weber County.
Well, that's a good point. That it's not you've got other things that you need to pay attention to, not what another county is doing with the same taxpayer.
We will never audit what Salt Lake County does.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions of these witnesses?
I have nothing.
I have one, actually two. One, you've heard some discussion about the breadth of Rule 62 in its present form. Do you read Rule 62 the same way that the division has read it and that Salt Lake County has read it, which is that the present rule is broad enough for us to, as a just a change of practice, to start doing it now as centrally assessed?
Mr. Chair, I am going to give a very political answer, which I'm loath to do, and say I'm going to defer to the experts, the legal representatives that we have, and the commission.
Okay, thank you. That's fair. That's a fair response. Politically, I can say just as a footnote, we're very cognizant of the legislature making certain that we stay within the parameters we've identified, and that we stay within long-term practices. And so, I personally am interested in looking at some kind of a more clear direction in our rule, so that there's a signal, as Commissioner Cragen has indicated. That's why I asked you the question.
Okay.
Second question deals with the issue that I asked Mr. Bodley earlier on, was don't those criteria that have been presented today, don't those all equally apply to multi-channel communication services such as cable, such as satellite TV?
No, that's also an excellent question. I'm, if you'll allow me, I'll address that as from a layperson's perspective.
Please.
Okay. So, as it's been said many times before, a bit is a bit is a bit. From a customer's perspective, I don't know where my data is coming from. I'm a customer of a company. I don't know how the data is being transmitted. All I know is when I turn on my television works. When I pick up my telephone, my telephone works. I can. When I get onto the internet, my internet works. And so, if it comes down to the fact, are we treating these companies differently? I personally believe that we should be treating them all the same. Now, I don't understand the technology behind it, and I don't understand necessarily the legal parsing of technology, but it, just as a general rule, we should be treating all of these companies the same. The customers can't tell the difference between really Comcast and CenturyLink, I shouldn't have picked out one company or another. They can't tell the difference between service providers, essentially. All they know is, does my service work? Are these services competitive? And quite frankly, they are. They advertise their superiority to their competitors regularly. They compare prices compared to their competitors regularly.
Does Weber County assess a tax presently on multi-channel video providers?
Let me turn around and ask my first property manager.
We only have one or two very, very small that are assessed at the county level.
Okay, would you go up to a microphone? Just let's get that on the record.
This is Monica Dolan. She's my business personal property manager.
Thank you. Monica, thank you very much. If you just come up to the microphone and make that same statement.
We only have one or two very small television companies that are assessed locally by Weber County. They do not have a very large service area that they offer.
And is that cable or is it satellite? What kind of company?
One is the satellite company. I am not 100% certain on the second.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Uleberry.
Thank you.
Did you wish to speak as well?
I'm just Don's wingman today.
Okay, very good. Wingman it is. Next, who is requested to speak is Steve Proper from Comcast.
Mr. Chairman, how are you?
Good to see you, Mr. Proper.
Commissioners, thank you. Steve Proper, I'm with Comcast. I oversee the external affairs activities for Comcast here in Utah, and to what degree a external affairs person can help you understand our network. I'm here to try and help, at least. So, if you have any questions in those regards, I'm happy to try and address those from a network perspective. You've heard a lot already this morning. What's changed? What hasn't changed since 2008? Certainly, one thing that's changed that's been pointed out is that we've expanded our service offerings, our customer base has grown, but one thing that hasn't changed as a result of that is it's the same network. It was the same network today as it was in 2008 when the commission looked at this issue. And as you might recall, also was mentioned by Mr. Altenberger, less than 2% of our network actually was utilized to carry our VoIP service. And in fact, as technology has changed, we've been able to expand our bandwidth capabilities, even less than that, less 2% is used in that network today. So yes, things have changed, but some things fundamentally, the network and the property related to that network have not changed. Additionally, with regards to changes, Comcast has gone through some changes since 2008. 35% of Comcast now is movies and entertainment and amusement parks. It's not traditional cable or internet, even for that matter. Even our own 10K calls us a technology and entertainment company. They don't call us a telecommunications company. One other point that was just raised with regards to Weber County, as a cable operator or video product, we have roughly 120 franchises in our service footprint here in Utah. Those include all of the municipalities that we're in. It includes the counties that we're in, including Weber County. We pay a franchise fee in Weber County. I couldn't tell you how many customers we have in the unincorporated portion. I can follow up with you on that. But we actually have a franchise with Weber County that we pay upwards to 5%. I should say our customers pay 5%. We collect and remit to the county a video franchise fee on that cable, as in the case in all the other counties that we operate in. So to say that we're not paying anything on the cable side is just not accurate. That's all I really had to say. See if there's any questions that you have.
Any questions of this witness?
No.
I have one quick one, okay?
Yeah.
In the last 8 years, the number of VoIP services or services that are phone-like services has tripled. And according to the 10K filings with the SEC, you've gone from 4.6 million to 11.5 million. Even though you have expanded other areas, other lines in the entertainment area, it seems like you really have expanded the telecommunication side.
Yeah. Again, the customer base has expanded, and we've created new ones since 2008. I think it was referenced that we now offer home automation, home security. There's no doubt that that certain lines of those businesses have grown, and certain lines of those businesses didn't even exist in 2008. But it is the same network. It's the same property. that we used in 2008.
If I use those same numbers that have been filed on your 10-Ks, it shows you have about 22 million cable customers and 11.5 million phone customers. So 50% of your customers now, instead of just 3% of your customers, are telephone service customers. Is that not correct?
Are you referring to... It sounds closer to the Internet number than it does. I think the number that was referenced earlier was 20% of our subscriber base, roughly 20%.
But. According to the 2015 10-K, page 2, cable customers with 22.3 million... voice customers with 11.5 million. That's 50% of your customer base.
It may be. I was just referring to the number I heard earlier. But again, same network, same customer. If you looked at that same period in 2008, I'm not sure what the 10-K says there in terms of our home automation, home security. The number was probably zero.
Probably was, yeah.
I'd also add that the competitive landscape has significantly changed. That's the other thing, particularly specific to here in Utah. You have Google Fiber now in a couple of the markets. Certainly, you've heard AT&T and now their ownership of DirecTV. And we've always got our friends Utopia, where we compete with our own municipalities out there, the same people that regulate us. And then. Competitive world. So that has changed as well.
Wouldn't that be a real strong reason why you'd want to get out of their regulation?
I have a question too, but I think Commissioner Rockwell.
Okay, I'll go to Commissioner Rockwell, and then Commissioner Cragen.
So the same 10-K data shows that your cable customer base has declined, not significantly, but declined from 24.1 million in 2007 to 22.3 million in 2015. And I know that you've just discussed with us the competitive nature of your environment, but could you speak specifically to that decline and the reasons for that?
Well, I think you touched on it. It's not just the competition, but it's the change in competition deliveries. What we refer to in the business as over-the-top providers, a Netflix, if you will, a Hulu. Some folks are finding that those services, even some of the broadcast networks, are offering again an over-the-top product. HBO was the first to actually you don't have to subscribe to the cable service to actually subscribe to HBO. So it's been the increase in sheer numbers of competitors, and it's been the ever-changing landscape in terms of the delivery of those products. Again, probably the biggest would be, again, the over-the-top, the Netflix, the Hulus of the world.
And this data may have been presented, and I just didn't notice it, but what percentage of your customers are purchasing cable, internet, and voice as a package deal?
Ooh, I'd have to get back to you on the breakdown of that. Certainly, we bundle like any service provider that offers more than one product does. We bundle our products to provide the most cost-effective package for customers. I don't have that number in front of you. I'm happy to follow up.
If you could, number. I would appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Cragen.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to explore a little bit more of your comment about the franchise fees.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm seeing this issue, it's more a question of uniformity. It's better to have one assessing authority determine the value of the taxpayer's property rather than having 29. So tell me how the franchise fee fits into that framework.
Well, the franchise fee, we start to then get into federal laws governing cable and the franchising authority given to local franchising authorities, municipalities, counties. We even have franchises with military installations, if you will. And there's a certain parameter in terms of the federal guidelines surrounding franchising that, A, enables those governing bodies to invoke a franchise, and B, lists the types of things they can ask for, including a franchise fee, and it sets a threshold on on that amount. I'm not sure that that answers your question.
Is there any connection between franchise fee and property tax?
No, no. I just wanted to point out that there are fees that are paid on cable, specifically just by the nature of their existence.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. This exchange has been very helpful.
All right. Thank you very much.
The final person who has requested to speak today was Jerry Olroyd of Ballard. And we assume that's not of the town of Ballard out in the Uinta Basin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jerry Olroyd. I'm an attorney with Ballard Spahr, and I represent Comcast, and historically have represented Comcast, and represented Comcast back in 2008, when we had this exact discussion back then. Now, Mr. Bodley said that you ought to be able to just do this by rule or just assign it over to centrally assessed because it's already in the code. And he based that on a statute that defined video services, entertainment services, is essentially a telecom service. And he said there's really not a policy issue here. It's already been decided. But I think we need to go back to the history of this thing a little bit because there's a huge policy issue here that everybody needs to understand. This issue was raised in 2007. At the request of Quest, the legislature introduced legislation that would essentially assess Comcast. The legislature made a very specific determination by rejecting that legislation that it was not, should not be publicly assessed, it should not be centrally assessed, that it should be treated as it is, which is a local regulatory issue and should be treated as it historically has been. And I think if you go back to the file, I think there's probably letters from Senator Bramble, maybe from Senator Niederhauser to address that issue. This is a policy issue. Let me tell you why. The definition that you put out there, that you saw on that board about what is a light-type telecommunication services, has dramatic impact on various other types of regulatory issues. The Public Service Commission has never said a video service is a public utility or like a public utility. They have never regulated video services. If you define it as a public utility, you're creating an inconsistency there that could run into all kinds of problems at the Public Service Commission. And then also, I think you need to look at the nature of this. If you're going to treat this as a public utility service, how do you treat other companies that are locally assessed that are competing in the same space? Are we going to create a different standard? Because that's exactly what you're doing here. You don't centrally assess DirecTV. You may not even have the authority to centrally assess DirecTV. In fact, I'd probably argue if I was AT&T that it would be illegal for you to centrally assess to assess DirecTV. But if you are going to do that, you have to. And if you're going to regulate Comcast, remember, you're not regulating. You're not giving the same kind of treatment to our competitors. How do you handle Netflix? How do you handle the over-the-top services? What you're doing is creating a potential economic disparity or competitive disparity, and that's not the purpose of the tax commission. If that's going to happen, that ought to be an issue that's addressed by the legislature, and it shouldn't be addressed by this commission without input from the legislature, without input from the Public Service Commission, and without input from all of the providers that are impacted. I mean, it just stands to reason. That's the reason this issue was initially taken to the legislature, not the tax commission, back in 2007. I think it's also important to recognize that this issue, that this is hard to come up with a value because of the nature of cable. But cable has been locally assessed for over 50 years. There are procedures and processes that are in place. It's worked very well for 50 years. And the reason for that is because cable still, because of the franchise nature, is still relatively a local industry, even though it has broad scope. You still have regulation by the cities and by the counties. That's one of the reasons it was locally assessed to begin with. Why change a process that's in place, that's been discussed, as Comcast has indicated, just recently came up with the tables? This issue's been in front of you before. Why make that change now and address a policy issue that I think is really beyond the scope of this commission? And I do believe it's beyond your legal authority to do so. I have nothing else to say.
Thank you. Questions?
Yes.
Commissioner
Jerry,
Oswald.
Yes. For the record, Could you please articulate for me the differences as you see it between the cable and satellite landscape, and also articulate why you believe the commission does not have authority to centrally assess satellite?
Well, I think the difference in technology, you have satellite, you have a direct customer relationship with a satellite or the receiver on your house. You don't necessarily have the same type of lines like the CenturyLink would have, for example. And I think there's an issue there as to whether it could be centrally assessed as a result of that.
Because of the lack of property?
Lack of property. It's a different nature of the technology. And, you know, I think it's important to look at... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just think it's important because you are looking at different technologies across the board. And I don't think we want to be in a position where we would discourage companies, because of uncertainty in our law, discourage companies from coming into the marketplace. I think we want to create the Google Fibers. We want to create the companies that want to come into Utah and expand in Utah. I think we want to keep things as they are because we don't want to create uncertainty. And if we are going to create a change, it ought to be through the legislature because it is a huge policy issue. That answers your question.
Thank you.
Question of the question,
please.
Commissioner Creighton.
Could you address the issue of uniformity? This idea that Salt Lake County may be treating one taxpayer differently than Weber County is treating exactly the same taxpayer, and then the tax commission's constitutional and statutory responsibility to make sure that there's uniformity of assessment.
Well, isn't there a process in place that if there's a disagreement on how it's assessed, it goes back to the commission as the equalization board? I mean, I think that process is already in place. You have a huge group that works with the state tax commission. You have the county assessors that have been dealing with these issues. But you have tables that have just been completed. I mean, that's where it ought to be resolved if there's if disagreement. If Salt Lake isn't handling it the way Weber County wants it to be handled, it ought to be done with the group of assessors. It shouldn't necessarily change the way we structure whether it's a locally assessed or centrally assessed. It's a question of how it's assessed, and that can be addressed through equalization.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of this witness?
I have none.
I've got a couple. You may have just misstated when you... or I may have misunderstood you.
I probably misstated. It wouldn't be the first time.
You said that for the last 50 years, cable companies have been taxed in the way that they're being taxed now. Would you name
one cable company?
They've
been locally assessed.
Okay. Name one cable company that was in existence 50 years ago.
Probably it started with probably TCI, probably one of the first ones. I could ask Steve because he worked for TCI. He could tell you when they started.
It just seemed to be an overstatement that it was 50 years that cable companies have been around. That's why it kind of...
It's been close to 50 years.
Okay. What was the bill number for the 2007 bill? If you can get that to me offline, if you don't have it right with you.
I'll send it to you.
Please do.
I'll get that to you. And I'll also send you the comments that Senator Bramble and Senator Niederhauser submitted.
You know that we did take up this issue in 2007 and 2008 and rendered a tax commission opinion on that.
Right.
But it was not a bill.
No, this was the year before, I believe, there was legislation.
Okay, if you get that for me when we get offline, that would be helpful. Thank you. That's all the questions I had. Is there anyone else who did not previously sign up who wishes to make some comments now to the commission before we close our meeting? Please, come forward and then state your name. I'll put you on the roll.
My name is Robert Strong. Excuse me. I'm executive director of tax for AT&T, currently living in Sacramento. I was not planning on testifying, but something came up in some of the testimony that sparked my interest, and that was DirecTV. AT&T now owns DirecTV, the satellite TV provider. So I would just like to fill in maybe some gaps that I heard. One of them concerned the technology. DirecTV is not a two-way communications company. The customer at his house cannot send something back up to the satellite. It's a one-way from our broadcast centers in Colorado and California. A signal goes up to the satellite, and then it's basically broadcast to the whole country. And if you have the right code in the chip in your receiver, then you get whatever you've paid for. So there is no, and there is no inter-county connection. That home is standalone by itself. It's not connected to anyone else or any other part of our system. The only thing you need is some electricity to turn on the box. So they're all standalone. I'm a little concerned, too, about some of the comments about similarity and about equal treatment and things like that. And I think we have to be careful that we that policymakers, when they're talking about property tax, talk about property and not about what that property does, the service, for instance. And I know there's others may disagree with me, but, for instance, saying that one of our competitors is Netflix. Well, that's not really true. Netflix is a service that we could also offer, AT&T could offer, or anyone else can offer. It's a service a customer can get without CenturyLink or anyone else. So the fact that someone offers a competing service can be a dangerous criteria for connecting. For instance, AT&T, one of our one of our businesses is centrally assessed here. It's called AT&T Communications. That's our network, our backbone. And a big part of that business is data storage and data warehouses. And who's one of our big competitors? Microsoft? Amazon? Well, should that be a criteria for centrally assessing them? So I think we have to be careful. Our property, for instance, the wireless company is also state assessed here. And that's fine. And we think that it's perfectly legal, correct, to continue to assess it. But to try to bring in this separate company, DirecTV, that is operated as a separate company and does not have any physical connection across county lines or any physical connection even to California or Colorado, et cetera, would be a real reach to try to bring that in. So I think physical connection is what should be the main criteria.
Thank you. Questions of this witness? Thank you very much.
Sure.
Anybody else, please? Again, state your name and if you represent an organization.
My name is Kira Swanson. I represent Emory Telecommunications and Video and All West Communications. They're rural providers.
Give me that first name again, please. I'm sorry.
Kira, K-I-R-A, Swanson.
And it was Emory and Alltel?
All West.
All West. Mm-hmm.
As the representative from AT&T was speaking, I decided that I probably needed to make some comments. Unfortunately, the comments that I have are questions that have occurred to me while he was speaking, so I don't necessarily have the answers to these questions, but I thought it might be useful for the commission to consider these questions, too, or perhaps you've already thought of them. When we're talking about DirecTV, the representative stated it's not a two-way communications provider, and I started wondering if the customers of DirecTV have the ability to also receive internet through the same facilities, or voice services through the same facilities. Because if they do, it occurs to me that perhaps when we're talking about parity, that those that property should also be centrally assessed. And so that with respect to my clients who have asked me to attend this meeting, their concern isn't necessarily whether the property is centrally assessed or whether it is locally assessed, but just that similar providers and similar property are assessed in parity with one another. So I just ask you to consider those issues as you're contemplating these issues.
Thank you very much. Questions? I see none. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, please, Mr. Tu.
Roger Tu with the Utah League of Cities and Towns. I have to say I really debated saying anything because I'm here without any specific direction from my organization, but I did speak at the hearing we held in 2007 and thought I ought to at least express some of the concerns that existed then. We have no particular position on this issue, but because there were some comments made about the franchise and city authority, I thought I ought to clarify a few things. The term franchise is a term that goes way, way back, and in many ways has functionally disappeared as a practical aspect with the Deregulation Act of 1996 of telecommunications. In other words, we no longer as cities have the authority to tell generally telecommunication companies whether they can come in or not. We can charge them for services they provide, et cetera. But the term still persists, except for cable companies. And cable companies were not part of that deregulation. And cable companies have and still maintain a classic franchise arrangements in our communities. They do come in. We negotiate arrangements with them. We can't necessarily tell them no per se, but we have a different relationship with them than we do with others. Those used to be somewhat monopoly positions. Those are not necessarily the same anymore. You do have some competitors. But I thought it was important to clarify that there is that distinction. The other is in terms of the money they pay to the cities, in terms of there are the state sanctioned taxes, but there are charges for what we call the old franchise tax. There is no charge called that anymore. It's called the municipal telecommunications tax, which Senator Valentine remembers well.
My bill.
And in effect, as a condition of that, we had to eliminate in the bill any reference to the franchise, which is why cell companies are incorporated as part of that. Again, that applies to all of them. It doesn't apply to cable companies. Cable companies have their own federally sanctioned franchise tax that they pay to cities. Now, how that impacts value, that's a fair question. Does it change some of the dynamics? Possibly. But I think it is important to understand there is a distinction between those two issues in terms of how they are currently structured. The concerns we raised in 2007, it was at the height of some of this negotiation we're going on, as you remember, Chairman, that our respect for the cities, that we don't treat them as a great big company, that we treat them as a single operating unit within our cities. Again, I think there's ample arguments on all sides. I just wanted to clarify to understand that term gets thrown around because it's sort of part of our historical vocabulary. In real terms, the franchise as a classic application we have it really only applies to cable companies today.
Thank you very much. Questions? See none? No. Okay, last call. Yeah, please.
I would be happy to answer the question that was asked about DTV services, if you would like.
Why don't you go ahead and approach the microphone. Let's go ahead and get it on the record, please. Again, this is Mr. Strong, who spoke earlier.
Robert Strong with AT&T. DirecTV does not offer any and cannot offer Internet service. It cannot physically. The technology for the products, the machinery we have doesn't work. There are...
Right now.
We have no plans to either. There are Internet, satellite Internet providers, different companies. I think one of them is Hughes, but we do not. And the DirecTV service does not include and cannot provide voice telecommunications either.
Okay.
Question
you.
For you. Is it possible for a customer, a DirecTV customer, to get on-demand video?
Yes, they can now, right.
And how does that work? How do they...
They get on their cell phone or their CenturyLink phone and call.
So it's not through the satellite link?
Correct. There is. That's what I was talking about, two-way communication. It's physically impossible for the customer to send a signal up to the satellite. Just can't do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sort of last call. Anyone else who would like to speak before we close our public hearing? I see no other takers. Okay, this will conclude our public hearing on this matter. Again, we've not taken any position. We've just decided to take information to try to come up with a decision on it. We will have further public hearings if we decide that we're going to make a rule change or if we're going to be taking a change in a policy. And so that will close our meeting today.
Thank you.